From Pacifica Radio, KPFT 90.1 Houston, this is Open Journal in Exile. Open Journal is the Houston community magazine of the airwaves. Join us as Duane Bradley and Stephanie Coleman explore the wonder that is the Petro Metro and the people who make it happen. And now from our temporary, socially distanced, alternative studios in exile, somewhere in the greater Houston area, this is Open Journal in Exile. Let the conversation begin.
You are tuned to the Mighty 90 KPFT, listener-sponsored, commercial-free, independent, community-based public radio right here in the heart of the Petro Metro. And we thank you for joining us, and thanks for being along for the ride. I'm Duane Bradley.
And I'm Stephanie Coleman. Many of us are stressed out from the extended COVID-19 pandemic and the extended 2020 election season among the myriad of issues of stress in modern American life. So we, on OJ, thought it might be good to have a little sit-down with someone with a background in psychotherapy to talk through some of what we are all dealing with right now, in the hope that we might gain some insight and perhaps obtain access to some information and even tools to help us during these trying times. Mickey Fine is the founder of Mindful Living and is a pioneer of mindfulness here in Houston since 1994. She is a longtime psychotherapist, a licensed professional counselor, teacher, and mentor of groups, and is also the author of several books, including the children's book, May All People and Pigs Be Happy, which we spoke of during her visit last year when it had just been published. Wonderful book, wonderful cover. Mickey Fine, we are very happy to welcome you back to Open Journal.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here. One day, someone called me. I thought, oh, goody.
Well, thanks for saying yes, Mickey. It's great to have you back. So as you've heard us discussing current events, the pandemic, the election, it's still hurricane season, the Astros lost, and all these different things that can be somewhat, you know, great trauma, mild trauma, but still traumatic. Folks are understandably stressed out. Can you help us out with some advice just to get us started?
Yeah, and I think you described some of those effects, and I think that sense of isolation and vulnerability is really powerful. And we are herd animals. We are supposed to be together. And so that's particularly hard. It goes against who we are as a bunch of creatures. Feeling out of control. I mean, who has any control over this? You know? And that is what we seek in our lives, is to control things. And that helps us to feel grounded and sane. In actually reality, we don't have control over much of anything. And I think this pandemic is really telling us that. Mm-hmm. So we have collective trauma with so many people dying. And even if we don't, we think, oh, I'm not traumatized. There's something that's happening here. Right? And it's huge. Mm-hmm. And then take the political and social unrest, and you've got a big amount of difficulty to handle. And a couple of things that can happen from that is obviously lots of emotion, anxiety, anger, sadness. And the ways that we try to deal with all of this is pretty much by denial, diverting our attention, having another glass of wine or a beer. We get desensitized to a lot of this, and we feel numb and depressed. And all of these, we have learned helplessness. So all of these can be helped with mindfulness. And mindfulness is the awareness that arises when we bring, when we consciously bring our attention into the moment. And in a particular way, we purposefully notice our judgments, our preconceived ideas, and we let go of that. And we also bring a sense, a kind awareness to things. So it includes allowing and kindness and compassion. And most of the time we're not present. We are simply not here. You know, we go through our day with our head down, and pretty soon it's like the end of the day. Where was I? What happened? Did I eat dinner? What did I eat for dinner? And so part of what can happen with mindfulness is that we simply wake up to our lives. And mindfulness practice includes a mindfulness meditation and also an informal practice of mindfulness where we intentionally bring our awareness into the moment, right? Mm-hmm. If we're going to eat chocolate ice cream, eat chocolate ice cream. Be there for it. And if you're going to get fat from it, let go of your judgment. Eat the ice cream. Be here for it, right? And so we can actually have some sense of joy in our lives. And that's not a, it's a good thing in the midst of all of this difficulty that we find ourselves in. It gives us a little bit of a break. It helps us to manage the challenges and all of the feelings that we have. And there's a wonderful teacher, Thich Nhat Hanh, who says we must develop our capacity to experience joy. And that's right. A balancing factor.
Right. I mean, there is something extraordinary about that quote, just the notion of the capacity to experience joy, which I can see for so many people who we see, even if there is a moment of joy, they're not open to experiencing it because of the panic of tomorrow or January or what might happen or post-election, that it becomes too traumatic to even enjoy the moment.
Yeah, and there are joyful moments if we are present for them, and I'm not trying to be like a Pollyanna. My husband John could tell you she's not a Pollyanna. So, and I come to this teaching because I need it so bad for myself. Mm-hmm. So, when we're on autopilot, we're not aware of our situation, and we're also not aware of what's happening in the mind. And when we're not aware, we are at the whim of our reactive thinking. And everybody has that thing that they do over again. They do it again. Oh my God, I wasn't going to do that again.
Right.
But when we're not present, we don't know the triggers. We don't know our reactivity. Mm-hmm. And so with mindfulness, one of the really powerful things to do is to make a commitment to find some things that happen every day, lots of times during the day, and decide I'm going to stop and take a breath.
Yes.
And so now, that gives us a little pause.
Now, I have a question for you, not that you could solve this because the whole planet would be elated. Although
no
I
pressure.
Do. Right, yes, I just wanted to let you off the hook early. But, you know, one thing that I'm very surprised, and we're on a Zoom call, and, you know, there's a lot of other virtual video calls that have become a part of the day-to-day norm for mm-hmm. many people. And there's a lot of video conferencing burnout. And there's a lot of meetings that I think so many people are saying, I work twice as hard now that I work from home than I did before. And there become so many distractions. They're homeschooling, they're working, they're being overmanaged at work. For that sort of environment, not as an answer to it, but what is it when as you said, we don't have control over our calendar, you look up and you're on 5 calls that someone scheduled on your calendar for you. What are your thoughts on that new tech influence and mindfulness that you can't necessarily just go walk and take a break now or go to the water fountain, that your schedule has sort of been dominated by calendar invites?
Yeah, yeah. Well, there is something called Zoom exhaustion. Mm-hmm. And some things to do, one main thing to do is before you get online, to take 30 seconds, 60 seconds to go to your breath. And the breath really is the place where, I mean, it's always with us until we die. Mm-hmm. And we pay attention to the breath. And when the mind wanders, we come back. We pay attention, mm-hmm. the mind wanders, we come back. It's natural for the mind to wander. But simply having a little bit of grounding, get your feet on the floor, feel your rear end on the chair, and be present for a few moments before you get on. Mm-hmm. And then during it, I think you can maybe get rid of distractions. I have my phone off to the side. It's on mute and it's face down. Mm-hmm. But get everything that you don't need out of the way. So mm-hmm. you're not trying to multitask, you know, while yeah. the meeting is happening. Mm-hmm. And to know, maybe if you have time outside of the Zoom call during the day to practice mindfulness meditation, I'd be happy to field calls from anybody who wants to ask me about that. There's several ways to do that. To have a practice that grounds you and you actually feel calmer than you used to. Mm-hmm. This is a practice, so it takes some time. Right. But in an eight week what's called mindfulness based stress reduction class that I teach, mm-hmm. the research says that you feel more grateful for life. You feel calmer after an 8 week class. Mm-hmm. You feel your brain literally changes. Mm-hmm. The place where the frontal cortex gets bigger, and you are able to make better decisions. And the part inside your brain called the amygdala, it actually gets a little bit deactivated. And the amygdala is the source of emotion. And it's not like you're devoid of emotion. You're not as volatile. And so that practice helps you come to a meeting with, okay, here it is. This is what this is. It's how it is right now. And there's that sense of allowing, right? That mm-hmm. is with mindfulness for things that are hard to allow. We don't want to sit here all day in front of a computer, right? But here we are. Many, many other things that could go into how you come to a Zoom meeting. I mean, I can talk about some of those in a few minutes.
Okay. Well, you're tuned to Open Journal on Pacifica Radio. This is a special In Exile edition. We are visiting with local psychotherapist and mindful living founder and practitioner, Mickey Fine. Thank you for joining us, and thanks for tuning in. I'm Dwayne Bradley with Stephanie Coleman, and I wanted to ask you, Mickey, is there a difference between mindfulness as you're speaking and various forms of what people would call meditation?
Yeah, good question. So mindfulness has us paying attention to whatever's happening in this moment. And a lot of other meditations take your attention away. It's like listening to music mindfully. It might be a prayerful kind of meditation, like centering prayer. It might be transcendental meditation. And most meditations are very single focused. It's right on the breath or a candle flame.
Or a mantra.
Or a mantra.
Yeah.
And so mindfulness has us become, we begin with the breath, so we establish some concentration. And then in the meditation, there's actually this growing focal point. We go from the breath to noticing the body, to noticing sound and thoughts and feelings, so that you come to know the totality of your experience, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And as we notice and let go of judgment, as we become kinder to ourselves, then we can handle and hold our experience, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the difference.
And being kinder to ourselves, that's a hard ask.
It is.
Yeah, sometimes it I is. Want to beat myself up. Like just now when I realized that I didn't actually have my really cool microphone plugged in, and I've been using the microphone in this laptop in front of me that my papers have been sliding across the whole time. I didn't hear how bad it might have sounded. I also know that we have some wizards who work with us on our team, Susan and Maverick and Rick. Not so much me or Stephanie, really. But
not our thing.
Definitely not me.
But you know what the nice thing is, Dwayne? You were in the moment. You were there. You were there.
I am here now. Thank you.
Yeah. But how do we be kinder and gentler to ourselves, Mickey?
Well, it begins with the simple focus on the breath. Mm-hmm. And when the mind wanders, and it will, and if you have a frisky mind, you get lots and lots of practice in doing this, right? Mm-hmm. So you focus on the breath, you feel it in the body, and when the mind wanders, you purposefully let go of judgment and come back. So there's the beginning of kindness. It may not be feeling very kind.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, that begins to grow. And this mindfulness is said to cultivate lots of things on lots of lists. And one of the lists is the four heart qualities, which I think are really powerful. Loving kindness, compassion, joy, and equanimity. And each one of those has their own practice. And so loving kindness practice can be very powerful to very purposefully say a series of well wishes, or people call them blessings. They could be a prayer, but it's, may I be safe, may I be happy, may I be filled with love, may I be at ease. And you don't have to feel it in order to meditate. It's simply that you're taking the watering can away from the weeds of our contempt for ourselves and the words that we say, and cultivating those words. And eventually you can come to, dare I say, fall in love with yourself. And I don't mean narcissism. I don't mean it's a valuing of who we are, and that we are human. We open to the fullness of our humanity, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and we're okay with it all. And that's really hard.
Right.
Amen. Mickey Fine, with this constant barrage of information and news, which is mostly bad, with all the stress that our modern social fabric is woven through with, how hard is it for someone to really make time and space for mindfulness, for meditation, for things that are self-care?
Yeah, it is hard if you don't have the habit of doing it. And also, when we don't value ourselves, it makes it difficult to get to it, because I'm the last thing that I need to pay attention to, right?
Mm-hmm. And
one thing might be taking a class, that you commit to the practice, and committing to the practice, you're kind of committing to the whole group that's in it, that we're going to do this together. For some people, it may be starting out really slowly. You get an app. Maybe I think 10% Happier is really a fine app. It's Dan Harris, and some really, really fine teachers have contributed to that. And so they have all sorts of meditations. And it may be you practice for 5 minutes, and you just say, I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a long-term, most people who have a long-term meditation practice do it in the morning, first thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I get up, make coffee, clean the litter box, we go sit and meditate.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's hard once you get started, the day kind of just starts rolling on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you have that informal practice of creating space between the stimulus and the response, taking a breath, and maybe doing things mindfully. Maybe you walk from of course not very many people are going to their car to go to work, maybe walking from the kitchen into the bathroom, feeling your feet on the floor. It may be that you give mindful hugs to whoever you're living with, whoever you can give a hug to. So those things kind of come together, the formal practice of getting your rear end on the cushion, and the informal practices to help us be calmer. And I think that this time, even if you are mindful, you're practicing mindfulness, that it's hard. We have huge desires about this election.
Right.
We have huge uncertainty about COVID and political and social unrest. I think it's challenging for everyone. And I think that may be giving ourselves permission to say, yes, this is hard. Acknowledge that is really important. And then practice mindfulness.
It's interesting. I have a colleague, and as you say, sort of giving yourself a moment at a time, as easy as from the kitchen to the bathroom, and then one day at a time, not with this huge plan that I'll do it for 800 days. But I remember as she began meditating, it was just, I'm going to start tomorrow and I'm going to do one day. And every morning became one day, and I had met her and she was like 1,000 days in.
Wow.
And yeah. And I was like, you've been doing this for years. Like I, but she never gave herself the weight of, I need to do it for so long,
yeah,
or I need to do it each day. She kept a little app and it kind of kept track for her. And she looked up and had accomplished, and really it transformed things in her life because of that time spent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and I think one of the things that can be helpful, and this is a challenge, that you make some reminder for the first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. I have it on your, in front of the toilet, mm-hmm, or you know, whatever, that you begin your day with some intention to be present to your life. And if we think about living our lives as if they matter, because they do, right? And yet most of us, well, all of us, I think, almost all of us are walking through life without knowing what our life is,
mm-hmm,
without really living it. And so so that may be a motivation. I think also some people, I know a lot of moms who practice mindfulness and they say, I'm sick to death of wanting to scream all the time at my children.
Right.
If there's an intention, you know, like and I think if everybody practiced this, we'd be doing great, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Dalai Lama says if there were, if we taught every 8-year-old this meditation, that in a generation there would be no more violence.
Mm.
And so having a purpose to it and then being really, really gentle.
Right.
One moment at a time.
I think being gentle with yourself is a challenge for many of us.
Right.
For various different reasons. So, Mickey Fine, you said earlier that one of your teachers, you mentioned Thich Nhat Hanh.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you could share a story or a reflection of your experience with him, with our listeners.
A lot of what I've experienced are his books. And in our first Valentine's or Christmas, my husband, John Pavlicek, gave me a retreat with Thich Nhat Hanh.
He does love you.
Yeah.
I'm very lucky. So all I could do was cry, right? It was like, I never had anybody care as much as he does about what I want. And so I went to this retreat, and he's a holy man. He is kind. He teaches very, very simple practices. And he's one of the main, next to the Dalai Lama, he's probably the second most famous teacher of Buddhism. And right now he's actually showing us how to die. He's had a stroke. He's off of his medicine and he's just letting himself go. And he's still lucid and he hadn't eaten for days and days and days. So I think since before October 11th, and he's still alive and he's still conscious. And, but he is worldwide an amazing teacher. And I could feel him. I could feel him when I was there.
It's really extraordinary because we just never know the impact that our life has on other lives. Mm-hmm. And to be very sort of thoughtful of, you know, not only what we're feeling for ourselves, but as you said, with the herd mentality, to be very mindful of what that energy does and amplifies through other people. And I think a lot of the tension that we're experiencing as a country and even globally, we're sort of projecting that on each other. So my anxiety becomes projected onto Dwayne with my worry, and his worry becomes amplified. Whereas the same thing can happen with our smile or our joy or our optimism, that we can share that as well. And it's not naivety, I don't think, but I think we're all still here and we do need to figure out, like, what does that look like? That happy thoughts, I guess, are not just that they're for our health as well. Mm-hmm. So as you talk about, you know, happy thoughts in your children's book, may all people and pigs be happy. It's extraordinary that it's been a year since you published it. Mm-hmm. But could you remind our listeners sort of your sort of idea behind the story, how it came to be? I know there's a wonderful dynamic in the illustrator for your publication, and just how it looks looking back at that process.
Yeah, I think the book. The book idea simply came to me during my meditation, and I practice a lot of loving kindness meditation. And it also comes from the pain of my own childhood. So that's part of it. And I just felt called to write a book. And I actually have a stuffed pig named Pigalina. And so between little, and here, let's see. I bring her to work with me.
Oh, how adorable.
My name is Pigalina.
That's great.
Pink fleece, pig doll.
So it simply came to me. I didn't say, okay, now I'm going to write a children's book. What am I going to write about? Mm-hmm. So, and my goddaughter's name is Claire. So the little girl is going to be Claire. And little by little, really in my meditation sessions, there would come another idea and another idea and another idea. And mm-hmm. it took a while to write it because I wasn't in any hurry, which was nice because I'm known to be one in a hurry. Mm-hmm. And then my husband, John Pavlicek, illustrated it. And it took a while to have this come to fruition. And we were really, really, really joyful. And it really is my, I'm just dedicated to helping little ones know their inner goodness.
Mm-hmm. How has the book done in this first year out in the world, out of your brain and John's brushes into people's lives?
Well, you know, I haven't gotten a sales report in a very long time. Mm-hmm. And COVID has pretty much stopped.
Kind of canceled your book tour, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was doing lots of book readings at schools and that pretty much stopped, but there's actually some starting up now again with kids coming back to school. I'm on social media, and so there are lots and lots of people, and there's a group of women in Ireland who teach children mindfulness, and they use the book all the time. There are other people around who write me, and kids love the book. I have lots of friends who say, I bought this for my granddaughter, but I'm keeping it by my bedside. So, you know, yeah. So we're having fun with it, and I'm actually writing a curriculum to take into schools to teach the lesson, to have expand on the lessons from the book. So we're excited about that. Yeah,
that's great.
That's great.
Thanks for asking.
We'll keep in touch with Pigalina, and may all people and pigs be happy through John Pavlicek, your husband and artist, and you, Mickey Fine. I wanted to, I was thinking in terms of parents and kids. Mm-hmm. So say you are a parent with kids. Mm-hmm. And okay, so you've shared some wonderful uplifting stories like, mm-hmm. like this book. But you personally, the parent, are really kind of in a place of worry right now, not just, you know, with the whole confluence of everything, but particularly here tonight, mm-hmm. election eve, tomorrow, election day, Lord knows it's more than likely not going to be decided by midnight on tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'm a parent. I'm scared. I've got mm-hmm. kids. What would you recommend that I could do to maybe not project this fear that I might be having of, man, we could be on the verge of a civil war here, or na 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 na, lots of different things yeah. rolling through my noggin. What to do in that?
Well, as you were asking that question, a quote comes to me: "Practice like your hair is on fire."
I think a lot of people feel that way.
And so the answer in terms of mindfulness is to come into the moment, take that breath. And there's a quote by Viktor Frankl who says, between stimulus and response, there's a space. In that space lies our freedom and our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our happiness. And so I see you laughing.
That was our thought of the week we shared with the entire Open Journal crew and everyone listening at the end of last week's show.
That exact funny quote,
Viktor Frankl. It was meant to be.
It was meant to be.
Maybe I shared it a week early, but then if I was planning it for today and you already used it, oh, you would have burned the end of the show for me. So thanks for being on today. Being here now.
Yeah. So this is where if we have moments where we stop, then you can decide, what do I need to do with my children right now? Right. And being in a moment with a child, even with all of the fears, it's just this moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and they're very in tune to your unspoken feelings.
Of course.
And so it does take that moment to take a breath and really be clear and honest with yourself. Mm-hmm. And then clear and however you choose to be honest with them, because they know. They know and they feel.
Yeah,
they're little people.
and I think the whole practice, the getting the rear end on the cushion, so to speak, and coming into the moment with your child gives you the ability to calm yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it is scary. We're in scary times, mm-hmm. and we don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the prospects of some of the things that Duane was saying, that's terrifying. And mm-hmm. we are not there yet. And we don't know what's going to happen. And mindfulness helps us to be more resilient in the face of not knowing, in the face of wanting to control it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe being able to say, all of this is impermanent.
Mm-hmm.
Just this moment. And right. Please believe me, I'm not saying just go out and just be in the moment all the time. It's hard. That's why they call it a practice.
Mm-hmm.
So, but little by little, we get a little bit calmer. And then we decide, I can be with my child just as it is. And I can, it's right here.
Right.
And to know right now it's like this. Right now I'm scared.
Right.
Yeah. I hope that's a good enough answer. It's a hard answer. Right?
Mm-hmm. It's an honest answer.
Yeah. And one of the things I do know is that I have lots of moms who've taken my class and they say, I have quit yelling at my kids, mm-hmm. and my kids they're in love with it. They're in love with it.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah.
And it does take a lot. I mean, I even look at as my son has gotten older and to realize, like, sometimes we internalize their behaviors as our own either successes or shortcomings. And really, they are independent beings as well. Mm-hmm. And so being easy on ourselves allows us to be a bit more fair in our judgment of what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Very nice.
So, Mickey, I was going to ask what your plans are for tomorrow evening. You going to be camped in front of a TV set watching pieces of our geography light up in different colors? And are you going to, do you have some good whiskey stashed somewhere or a nice bottle of wine?
I was going to be chugging wine out of a bottle. No, I don't drink anymore. Maybe a glass of wine here and there every couple of weeks. I probably won't watch much of it. Might read, might watch something else on TV. And a lot of, I think it's important to stay in tune with what's happening, but there's so much that we could be watching that is so difficult to see and to watch, that it's calmer to limit your, limit what you consume in terms of news and television. So, I mean, certainly I'll be wanting to know. Now and then, but yeah.
Not a moment by moment stress analysis of it.
You'll... Breath by breath.
Breath by breath.
Breathe. Well, beyond tomorrow and beyond the result of this election, what are your hopes for the future, and what kind of projects are you working on now?
My hope for the future. One is that we have a new president, and that we can address some of the things that are really difficult in this world right now. Climate change, first COVID, and all sorts of other things. I mean, I have desires for that, and to try to practice my best to take the good, the bad, and the ugly and say, this is what's here right now, and to let go of struggling so much. And then the big project that I have is the building the curriculum around the book. It's an online curriculum, and we're getting ready to do some video and some Pigalina. I'm Pigalina's voice, and so she's going to be talking a lot in the
Oh, that's awesome!
Anyhow, so I'm right at the place where we're almost done and ready to do all the stuff that I don't know how to do. I didn't even know how to write a curriculum. I just knew I had this book, and it needed to something else needed to happen.
That's wonderful. How can people keep in touch with you and what you're doing, and maybe see some of the products that you're creating and engage?
I have a website. It's livingmindfully.org. If you forget that, you can simply type in Mickey Fine, M-I-C-K-I, and Fine, F-I-N-E. It's one of the first things that come up. And you can get my books at any bookseller and go to a small one. There are lots of bookstores here in town who have it. And it's one of the adult book is The Need to Please, Mindfulness of Gaining Freedom from People Pleasing and Approval Seeking. And then, Wayne, we can both hold it up. May all people and pigs be happy.
Right. That's great.
And I don't know if I have another book in me yet or not. I people keep asking me. And I don't know. If it comes, it comes. If it doesn't, I'm not gonna push it. So
well, right. Mickey Fine, it's thank been a joy and a pleasure having you on this special In Exile edition of Open Journal for our Election Eve visit.
Nice to be with you.
Thanks so much for sharing yourself and time with us and our listeners here on Open Journal. Appreciate it. You are tuned in. We thank you for joining us, and thank you for your support. I'm Dwayne Bradley.
And I'm Stephanie Coleman. We are a dedicated all-volunteer production staff, including Rambling Rick Campbell, Susan Phillips, and Maverick. And we couldn't do this without our wonderful supporters and your donations, as we do day by day, week by week, monthly pledges or annual donations.
Yeah, thanks to everybody who's pledged just in this program. Elliott, Susan, Bob, Leslie, Mark, and you right now. I can feel it. Thanks for joining us on the Open Journal.
Right, and you feel free to check out kpft.org for an archive of this program. Subscribe to our podcast, KPFT OJ. And please give us feedback about the program and offer your suggestions and ideas. Open Journal theme music provided by Kevin McLeod. And be here with us for Open Journal next time for more great conversations. Please pledge and pledge, please. Thanks for your support.
As always, we like to leave you with a thought for the week. Kind of apropos, this comes to us from Franklin D. Roosevelt, who said, "Nobody will ever deprive the American people of the right to vote except the American people themselves. And the only way they could do this is by not voting. Take care of each other.